Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Tarkessa Colvin. Tarkessa is a best-selling author who can be seen in the Huffington Post, Thrive Global Medium, and the SBA SCORE Birmingham chapter. She worked in healthcare management for 10 years, completing a Bachelor's of Business Administration and Management, then a Master's of Business Administration and Operations Management, but she knew she was designed and purposed to do more. She began using her formal business education and the experience she gained from publishing 19 books in 6 years. She began to help people write and publish transformational books. She works with clients one-on-one in group settings, and their book projects have helped them become featured authors at the NAACP National Convention, secure TEDx talks, create multiple income streams, and gain access to larger stages and multinational platforms, garner the attention of daytime television producers, get them featured in well-known magazines like Cosmo, and expanded their businesses by leveraging their finished books. Her goal for the work she does is to help people write books that say something, books that are not only positioned for bestseller status, but also change mindsets, lives, businesses, and more by delivering powerful transformational messages to the masses. Welcome to the podcast, Tarkessa.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited to learn more about publishing books. I know there's a lot of educators out there that are looking to write a book, looking to find a publisher. So we'll learn a lot about that in this today's chat. So we'll start off with the question I ask everybody. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
That's a loaded question, right? No. Well, I will tell you, early on when I started this writing journey, I could write, but I didn't have any idea of how publishing went. So the only thing that I knew was you write and then you submit to publishers, right? Like, everybody knows that journey and that story. And so I did that. And I'm like, I got the book, you know, that I'm not going to say the name, but everybody knows the big book you go and get, and it's for whatever year, and it's listing all of the publishers and their addresses and their contacts. And I did all of that. And so I'm like going through the genres, and I'm like, okay, I got my list. And I sent out my poor little manuscript to like tons of people. And some I got, you know, the kind of the standard, nah, no thanks, or, you know, maybe next go around kind of thing back. And then there was this one, and it was from an actual person, and it wasn't like a scripted chain. I mean, it felt like, didn't feel like a chain letter. And I was so excited about that. And I remember like opening it up, and I was expecting my life to be changed in it. And realistically, it was just not the way that I thought. And I opened this letter up, and it was like, hey, this is awesome. Let's move forward. And I'm like, and then I started doing the work with this publisher, and the editor's like, you know, you got anything that has vampires in it? And I'm like, what? Like, what? No, like, that's not even what this story is about. Like, you know, I can tell you it's like a story about a mob boss. So I was so confused. And you know, that began this conversation that made me feel like this is the end of my writing career. And they're like, you know, you really write wonderfully, and you tell a great story, and, you know, all of the things that you want to hear as a writer. And then it was kind of the dagger to the heart, like, but you won't be published if you don't learn to write to trend. And at the time, that was, you know, vampires, werewolves, and love triangles. And I will be honest and tell you, I felt like, I'm an adult. I don't know any vampires or werewolves. Like, I don't have any of that content. And it really felt like I was being censored, so to speak. You know, I just felt like if I don't write these things, I'm not going to be published. And it was sad for me. And I had to navigate that. And I actually ended up with writer's block for 2 years after that, two whole years. And that is agony for a writer, for a creative, not being able to create. But I just felt like nobody wanted it, so I couldn't get it out of me. And then one of my best friends, she gave me some tough love, but like, don't tell her. If you guys ever meet her, don't tell her. She was like, Are you going to let that editor, that company, those people write the end of your story? And I was just like, how can you say that? You know, I'm so down right now. She's like, no, but you have control. Like you can make the decision to do something else. And it took me a couple more months after that. I'm not going to say I was immediately like, yeah, because I was really mad at her for telling me the truth. But from there is when I started my journey into learning self-publishing and how I got to, like in my intro, it says writing those 19 books in 6 years, because it was like, okay, people are doing this. How are they doing it? And so I was the crash test dummy. And that is how, I'm not going to say I pulled myself out of the trenches. I do credit her, but only behind her back. That's my trenches story.
So on a side note, that self-publishing, did that take place after you were having the writer's block for 2 years? You were kind of in that trench for 2 years?
Yeah, I was.
So now you're, you know, as I mentioned in the bio, you're helping authors, you know, go to six-figure, publish their books. And now you're a six-figure business owner and a contributor to Thrive and Medium. So walk me a little bit through, a lot of people think authors are quote unquote starving. Why is that a myth, and how can you break that myth?
It's a myth because it's more of a mindset, actually. I am out here working to kill that myth, because you can make exactly what you want to make as an author. And I know it's probably like eye roll, but you have a very particular skill set that not everyone has. You have the ability to communicate in creative ways that reach the masses. And so if you have the mindset that you're going to be a starving artist, then you will be. If it's a decision that you've made that, you know, you're not going to leverage because you're super focused or hyper focused on publishing looking a certain way. And the one thing that I say to people all the time, to authors all the time, is really quickly, tell me who James Patterson's publisher is. Nobody knows, but James Patterson is a very viable, marketable brand as an author. And he's not flashy. He ain't shiny. You know, you too can be James Patterson in your own right. He made the decision, as someone who had a very good understanding of marketing, to do books differently. And whereas the system, the publishing system was like, we put out books every 2 years. He's like, no, I think I'm gonna do one every 2 months. And so however you want your publishing journey to look, it can, and you can generate income with it. You are one of a 1% of the population who've actually written the book. There's 99% of the people say, I want to write the book, but you've actually done it. So you have skill set before, during, and after that can generate you income. And any amount of income, you can write your own check, because you can help the next person write a book because you have that skill set. And so that it is totally a myth that you have to be a starving artist. You don't have to be. You can make another decision. And I hope that I encourage you to do that today as we're chatting.
Yeah, and it's good to know that, you know, like you said, people know the author, they don't know who the publisher is. And, it's marketing. A lot of educators don't know so much about marketing, myself included, like when I started the podcast. It's kind of a learning curve. So, yeah. You talk about a 5P method. When it comes to, the media and, when you're working with the pre-writing process and all that. So it's not just writing the book, it's kind of planning before you even start your manuscript to make it that finished product. So if you could break that down a little bit in terms of people who are, just thinking about the product right now.
So I'm going to give you guys a second to get a pen and a piece of paper if you don't have one, because this is really how you flip that switch and really understand how you can generate income. You want to know these things. The 5P method not only makes the media want to know about your book, but it's your marketing plan. And this is important, because if you don't know these five things, then a news anchor or somebody who's getting your information that came across the news desk, they're not going to go find it. If you can make it super easy for them to know how to position your story and your information and your local hometown hero story, then awesome. And so the number one thing is you want to know your prime prospect. That's the person that this book is going to just, they will fall in love with this book. And this is for fiction or nonfiction. Don't think if you're writing fiction that this, it's not, it doesn't apply, because it does. Just like in the story I was sharing earlier, the editor was wanting more something that was in line with the trends of Twilight. You got to be able to say, you know, people who would read this book would have also read XYZ book. Or even better, if you are approaching a news media like TV, what movies, what TV shows would they watch? You got to know that. You got to know the people you're trying to entertain or inform with your work. So don't skip that part. And don't, please don't fall into the trap that my book is for everyone, because it's not. If I write a book on tax information, like, it is not for your six-year-old, unless you got a very talented six-year-old, right? Let's just be honest. So that's the first P, prime prospect. The second one is your proven product. So what I mean by proven product is your message is proven. So if you are doing nonfiction, you want to make sure your message is clear. It's not cloudy. It's not muddy. And for the English teachers in here, you know what I mean, where it's like we start out talking about one thing and then, you know, at the end of it, you start out talking about golf, and at the end, you're talking about your trip to Paris, and it's like so confusing. So make sure that your product is proven to be good and valuable and rich. Same thing if you're doing fiction. Prove to us that you can entertain us. Do that thing. Weave the world. Make us care about characters. Make us hate other characters. Do that. Whatever that is, make sure that it's a proven product, not a concept. That's the other thing that makes it proven. The book is published. The book is done or published. Okay. It's not an idea or a concept only. Because they're not going to want to cover your idea. They're not going to want to cover your concept. And nobody is going to go to Amazon and look for your book idea. They're looking for your book, right? So that's the second. The third thing is the purchase path. Make it easy for people to find it and buy it. If I have to go to your website and I got to dig down and I can't find it, it takes about 3 scrolls for the adult these days to say, never mind. And it may even be less than that, given all of the changes and how much technology we have been using in the past 2 years. You got to keep that in mind. You got to have a proven purchase path. So if I'm the media and I want to check and make sure your book is really where you say it is, you should be able to supply links to your website, to the Amazon, iBooks, Barnes and Noble, all the places. Okay, so make sure that you have those things in place, and especially going back to your website, don't bury it. I know how much it seems like we hate pop-ups when we go to people's website. If you're an author, I need you to make it easy for me. I don't need to spend time reading time on your website. I need to spend reading time in your book. So that's the purchase path. The fourth thing is price to value positioning. And all that means is make sure your book is priced properly. If you've got a 180,000 word epic, it shouldn't be 99 cents. It just shouldn't. That's for an ebook, of course. It shouldn't be that. Or it shouldn't be 99 cents for a print edition either. Like, that's a problem. That's a problem for you. And also, it's going to make anybody who is a voracious reader look at it and go, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't seem right. On the other end of that spectrum, if I go to Amazon and I'm all ready to buy your book, it shouldn't be priced at $890 either. And I know it's an amazing book, but that just doesn't align with the pricing, price to value positioning. Okay. And so the fifth thing, it's your promotion process. And so I know you're like, but no, I thought we're getting to the media for promotion. If you're not talking about your book on social media, why should they? They're going to go and they're going to check you out on social media and they're going to say, oh, wow, look at all of this different types of content where you're talking about how you came up with this character, why you named this character this. Wow, they did a whole reading, an excerpt. This is so cool. And they will get excited. But if you're not excited to share your book, how can you expect the media to get excited? And the media, again, we know that can be anything from bloggers to podcasters to, you know, traditional media. But if you're not willing to show up on your platforms and talk about it, why should they? So those are the five P's that I always take my authors through. And it's kind of like a author business crash course because it makes you think about a lot of things that you don't think about necessarily if you're a creative.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those things. And, you know, I've heard of some of those things and in the process of writing a book myself, and some of those things I wouldn't have thought about, like, you know, the purchase path, where you can find it, right? And not having it hidden, right, on the website. Yes. A lot of people, you know, even some people I've had on the podcast, their book might not be the easiest to find on their website. So, you know, I think those are great points to be thinking of when you're, you know, preparing for publishing. And so I know of a lot of educational authors that mm-hmm. have recently launched educational publishing companies. So for a listener who might be thinking about doing that, how can they set themselves apart from the many other educational publishing companies out there?
Don't be afraid to.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Niche down, right? So if you're an educator, like one of my good friends she's now a business owner, but she taught seventh grade math, bless her heart, for a number of years. And so if she were to launch a publishing company, it would just make good business sense to focus on educating other teachers or administrators about that journey. Don't be afraid to specialize. You can't help everybody. You just can't. So why not be super focused on who you can help and support? So whatever your specialty is, whether that is language, oh my goodness, can you imagine having a publishing company that only focuses on how to teach language to second graders via Zoom? Like, I don't know about you, but I would want to know. I don't have a second grader right now, but I would still want to know. And also, you got homeschoolers that would be interested in that. Don't be afraid to niche down and talk to who you talk to. And even if you are launching a publishing company for the sole purpose of publishing your own book, specializing makes it that much better. Specializing makes you the big fish in a little pond. And so don't be afraid to do that. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great example because then the people will come to you, those who have that niche that have ideas or Absolutely. That have written a manuscript in that niche. And that's the way your company expands. Yeah, that's great how you put it. On your website and in your coaching, you talk about how authors could make $254K per book. And that yeah. sounds like a really high number for an author. Like I talked about earlier, like, you know, a lot of authors think they're you know, going to be starving artists. So
yeah.
Kind of what is your thought behind that strategy?
So it's a formula. And for my math teachers, you're welcome. Formulas are awesome. So it's interesting that you bring that up. I was really working on some content earlier around that. So if you find me anywhere on social media, I do talk a lot about the $254,000 per book formula. And I always, when I present this, I always get that side eye like, like that's not a thing, but here it is. Remember when I said at the top of our conversation, you can make as much money as you want because you're an expert. So the first thing though, before we even get into how, there's a modeling piece that I need to break down. If you are an author, you must have an ABM, and that's an author business model. Just like you would with any other business, you need to have a business model. And a business model, essentially, just a real simple explanation of it, breaks down what you sell on the front end and what you sell on the back end. So as an author, what you sell on the front end is a book, right? It's simple. It may be ebook, it may be print, it may be audiobook. But you sell a book on the front end. On the back end, there's so much more that you can sell. And this is where you get into the $254,000 per book. formula. So if you write a nonfiction book specifically, this is the example I'm going to give. You got your book sales. Your author business model can be, and there's like eight that come to mind, but I'm going to go over just a couple for the sake of time. So your author business model may just be book sales. Well, in any market, it's going to be challenging unless you are a celebrity to make $254,000 just selling books. But if you have more of a mixed author business model, which may be book sales, speaking, consulting, where you combine three things, it looks a little different. So for every book, if you sold books, of course, but also you were a speaker and you went to, say you were a pest control expert. I don't know why you would be, but say you are. There are conferences, there are trade shows, all of which would allow you to come and speak as an expert. So if they ask you or you submit to go and speak, you get to submit your speaker fees. How much is that? So maybe it's $5,000 locally. Maybe it's $10,000 plus travel if you have to go somewhere. So with that, you might say, these are my fees, but also I'm going to require you to buy 100 books before I even step on the plane. So you've sold 100 books, you've collected a speaker fee, and hopefully you collected it before you got on anybody's plane. Just saying. And now you are going to speak in that room. You are going to be positioned in front of your ideal clients, ideal readers, people who want to know more from you. And you can sell just about anything in that room. From the stage, you can say, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about supporting 5 small businesses with consulting services for the next 6 months, and it's going to be $36,000. So if you meet me in the back, let's go ahead and get you signed up for that. You got decision makers in the room, and you sign 3 consulting contracts in that room at $36,000 a piece. You've sold 100 books. Like, the number starts to stack. That's just based off of the one book, right? I hope that's making sense. Let me know if that's making sense before I dive in any further.
Yeah, I get how, you know, those authors are like, we're having somebody at a conference that I'm part of the board of directors for, and he's, you know, pre-selling books and help bring books to sell there as well. So I get kind of how, you know, that all ties in. So yeah, go ahead and you know, go on.
Good. I just want to make sure. So with that same logic, if you were to decide, you know what, I don't want to do like live speaking because of, you know, COVID, it's a thing. And depending on where you are, you know, it's a thing that affects more than others. So what if you decided to do coaching? Well, okay, I've written a book. It took me about a year to do it. That was a year of doing it by myself. But I know I have 10 people at my church or at my gym that for whatever reason, we started talking about, I want to write a book. I'm sure I could help them do it in about 6 months, $1,000 each, $1,000 a month, or however you wanted to charge. Now you've generated retainer or recurring income, all off the fact that you used your skills, your own research, your own energy, your own muscle to write that one book. So you wrote the book, you went and spoke, you traveled, you signed some consulting contracts, and now you're coaching. That is how you can generate $254,000. And I tell people all the time, I say 10 people, but you need 6 people and you can make $108,000. So 6 people, and I know it's like, wait, whoa. So if you decided to coach 6 people through any process that you know, even if you're writing fiction and you're saying, hey, I'm going to take 6 people through the process of writing a fiction book. I am going to be your go-to person to help you weave the worlds to make sure that you have really rich, juicy 3D characters instead of flat characters, because we don't like those, to help you create their backstory, to help you their origin story, as our Marvel fans would say, their origin story, and weave the world and make sure you don't have any plot holes. And we're going to do that over a 1-year process, over a 1-year time frame, so you don't feel rushed and I have time to give you the feedback that you need. If you took 6 people through that at what, $10,000 or $12,000, or even if you bumped it up to $18,000, you've made six figures in a year supporting the heck out of six people doing the thing that you used to write your one book.
Yeah, I get how that formula works. My question is, how long should somebody expect to actually get to that point? Because, you know, building up that business, building up that marketing strategy, it doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't happen overnight, but if you're taking steps, the thing to remember is you're only trying to help people who are maybe two steps behind you. No one asked you to be 12 steps ahead. No, you're not going from, you know, 12th grade and you're going to bring people from first grade up to the 12th grade. It's not working that way. Think about tutoring. They're usually peers. They're usually just doing a little bit better than the people they're tutoring in the class, or maybe they're a year ahead. So they're close enough to the information to understand where the person is, but also have made enough progress to help them navigate around pitfalls and help them understand things in a different way. So it doesn't have to take a long time. You can still be in the process of writing your book and generate income based on what you've learned. One of the most powerful things that I learned as I was, you know, learning the self-publishing route was showing versus telling in my writing. Like, I thought I was going to pull my hair out trying to figure that out. And once I did, I could help other authors to do this effectively, especially in the fiction writing. Right. So when I would get an author and they would say, you know, it's the sixth grader's first day of school, or the first grader's first day of school. Instead of saying that, you know, I would help them to say, you know, Tommy picked up his pencil box. He was so excited. He couldn't wait to load up his book bag for the very first time. That's the difference between the showing and the telling. So I can show them that now versus, you know, before. Just a couple of steps, even when I learned it, just a couple of steps ahead of where they were.
Okay. Yeah, I understand it a little bit more now. And I wanted you to maybe dig a little bit deeper into the fact about, you know, the secret people sometimes overlook about getting their book noticed. You talked a little bit about it earlier, the social media aspect, you know, going where the people are, but, yeah. You know, you might not have your audience yet. So dig a little bit deeper into that marketing strategy.
Absolutely. So I'm going to give you guys a twofold tip that I tell people around making sure that your book gets noticed. The first is simply show up where the people are. Instead of trying to get them to come to your house, go where the party is and share about, you know, what you have. Now do it, you know, build a relationship. Don't just go into salesperson mode. Like, nobody likes that. We all know how that works. But once you know where the people, those prime readers are, or those prime prospects, you can show up there. And the best way to figure that out is ask. So like, if you think, you know, your book, people who read XYZ book would be good readers for your book, figure out where they're hanging out. Is it a Facebook group? Is it a newsletter of some sort? Is it a book club? Figure out where they're hanging out and go there and be there. That's one. The other thing is this. This is a technical or practical execution type of thing. The number one way to make sure that the right people, including the media, know about your book is by having the right title. And I know it may seem harsh to say the word the right title because it implies there's a wrong title. But what I mean by that is your title, it's like when you go to the doctor and you say, oh, my neck hurts or my back or my ears. And then they come back with this long drawn out diagnosis. And you're like, I have no idea what that means, but how do I fix it? Finding a good book kind of works the same way. If I'm look, especially nonfiction, if I'm looking for something to help me because I believe I am overwhelmed, I'm looking for that word, how to overcome overwhelm. But if you are, as the expert, know that it's really not that I'm overwhelmed, it's that I'm unorganized. If your title says how to become more organized in your life, I'm going to think that's not for me. So you got to include the symptom that I'm looking for in your title so that I know that you mean me. And the best way to do that is to go and use like an Amazon and type in the word that you think should be in there and see what people are saying, see what comes up. So if you put in organization and none of the titles align with what it is you're trying to help people do, and then you put in overwhelm and you see how many, it'll show you immediately if it's at the top, oh, people are really searching for overwhelm, so things around overwhelm, versus if it's at the bottom, it's like, oh, that's not one of the top keywords, so to speak. It's a simple keyword search. It's just like Google, and I'm telling my age a little bit, how AdWords, how we used to navigate AdWords for marketing and SEO and all of that kind of stuff. So make sure that your title is in the language of your reader. They're speaking in symptom, you're speaking in diagnosis. Make sure that you remember that. And even if you have a vague or really pretty title, always follow up with just a clear and descriptive subtitle. My very first book of poems that I published was called Self-Portrait. Nobody knew what that meant. It meant nothing to anyone but me. So we tend to do that. We'll say, I have this great title and it means something to you. But if I'm a reader, it may not mean the same thing to me. So make sure that you are, you know, following up with a really keyword rich subtitle.
Yeah, I really like that. That tip as well, because that's kind of something I'm working on right now with the manuscript. And you need to have that catchy title. If not, people are not going to know what the book's about. It's kind of a summary of the book in a title, but yeah, have that subtitle as well. I really enjoyed our conversation about the writing process, about how you can make money from writing. Out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
One thing I would like listeners to remember is simply my personal motto, and it's that I would rather fail forward than fail standing still. Take the action, take the step. It's not going to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect, because perfect to me is not going to be perfect to you. But if you take whatever action it is, especially around getting your book done and getting it out there and getting it into the hands of the people that need it the most, then it's perfect. Just take the action and do the thing. So I leave with you, I would rather fail forward than fail standing still.
I love that, because, you know, if you have a great product, don't just sit on it and take that risk, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've just given a tidbit of some of the services you provide and some of the things that you do, but if people want to get in touch with you and find out more about publishing, where can they find you online?
You can find me everywhere online. And so that's TikTok for the TikTokers, Instagram and Facebook under I Now Publishing. And you will see me there with a big smile waiting to cheer you on.
Well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure having you on.
I totally enjoyed myself. Thank you so much.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.